in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. With coals of fire, you begin to sing songs of fire. It's a new season. Fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, new levels of authority, new levels of the anointing. Your horn the Lord has exalted like the horn of the unicorn. And I see the angel of the Lord pouring oil into your grace is poured into your lips. Take it's a new season. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. We reverence and honor your presence in our midst. We honor your sacrifice. Our hearts and minds are open. We receive all that you have for us. Thank you for the blessings of your word. Thank you for your manifest presence and power. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank you for the reign of revelation, light, illumination. Thank you for enlightening our understanding. Thank you for confirming your word with miracles, signs, and wonders. Thank you for diverse impartations, supernatural upgrade and equipping. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. 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 Come on, shout to the Lord. With the voice of triumph, come on, shout glory. You might be seated in God's presence. Acts chapter 3 verse 25. Today is a grand finale of our teaching series, which has been so powerful, so insightful, awesome, glorious testimonies and feedbacks coming from this teaching series. Children of the Covenant part 3. Hallelujah. Praise God. I say praise God. Acts chapter 3 verse 25. He said, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. We've seen and established the fact that God cut a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15. And we said Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that covenant. Hallelujah. And in fact, in Christ, all the other, those seven covenants we talked about in the Old Testament, the Edenic covenant, Adamic covenant, Noahic covenant, Abrahamic covenant, Davidic covenant, all those covenants, they were fully and finally fulfilled in the new covenant established by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Abrahamic covenant, okay, I forgot to mention, even the Mosaic covenant, the one we popularly call the Old Covenant, right? It was finally and fully fulfilled in Christ. Praise God. I say praise God. Last week we started looking at the blessings and the benefits of that new covenant, which is the ultimate fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. We started looking at those, the blessings and benefits of the new covenant. Hallelujah. You need to understand how powerful this new covenant is. You need to understand the strength and power of that covenant. Hallelujah. And by the way, the Abrahamic covenant preceded the law of Moses, right? It came before the Mosaic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is a covenant of grace. Is a covenant of grace. And it was actually the forerunner of the new covenant in Christ. Because a new covenant is actually a covenant of grace. It's also a covenant of grace. Hallelujah. How powerful is this covenant? Pastor Mafeng was quoting Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look at it, verse 13. Let's see the strength of this covenant. How reliable is the covenant? How reliable is it? How powerful is it? Hebrews 6:13. He said, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself." And can you remember the definition of a covenant? We say a covenant is a blood sworn oath. It's a blood sworn oath. Am I communicating? An oath bound relationship. So there is oath taking involved in cutting a covenant. There is oath taking involved, sealed with blood. Am I communicating? So when God was cutting this covenant, he said when God made that promise, that's the covenant of promise, okay? Because every covenant comes with promises, privileges, benefits, rights on one end, then responsibilities, obligations on the other end, okay? He said, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. God swore by himself. Because, you know, usually men, when they want to swear or take an oath, they use a higher power. They use a higher authority. But when God wanted to cut covenant with Abraham, he couldn't find anybody greater than him. Is there anybody greater than Jehovah? Is there anybody greater than the Lord God Almighty, the monarch of the universe, the one that began the beginning before the beginning began? Have you ever thought of it? Where was God when the beginning began? Because we read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That scripture did not say that is God's beginning. So God pre-existed the heavens and the earth. He predated the heavens and the earth. He was the one that began the beginning. Hallelujah. He's the greatest. is the greatest. You know, Jewish scholars, Jewish scholars, you've heard of the Tetragrammaton. Have you heard of the Tetragrammaton? We pronounce it as Yahweh, have we? But in the Hebrew, all these vowels are not there. This is actually how it is spelled in the Hebrew. Yahweh, how do they say? Yahweh. You know, how can you even pronounce it without those consonants? They only put in the consonant A and E so that you can pronounce it as Yahweh. You know, it's an unpronounced. You know, the Jewish scholar said, anytime they come across this name of God, this one, the Tetragrammaton, the unpronounced consonants there, when they come across it in writing scriptures, the writers, they will stop and go and take their bath. They go bath. Let me use pidgin English. They will go and take their bath. That's the kind of honor and reference they have for that name, because it's the greatest name. They will go and take their bath and change the pen they are using to a new writing. Are you getting me? They will change it to a new one after taking their bath, and then write that Tetragrammaton. Then after writing it, they will discard that pen they used to. They can't use it to continue writing. They will discard it. That's how much honor and reverence they have. Then they will go and take their bath again. Then they will now continue. See, God know be your, tell you, God know be your mate. See, God, Yahweh is not anybody's mate. Jehovah, do you know who he is? I've told you before, when they are doing word and opposite, when they say what's the opposite of God, I beg, let me beg you, no mention Satan. Satan is too small, he's no match. Even yourself, Satan is no match for you. The new creation is superior to Satan. You've been given authority and dominion over him. Am I communicating? See, the truth is, Satan's power is limited to your ignorance, to your fear, to his ability to deceive you, to believe his lies. To his power is limited to your disobedience. That's why the Bible says, give no room to the devil. The only room, the only place he can have is the one you gave him. All his power is limited to those things I just mentioned. He will deceive you and make you break spiritual laws so as to give him access to come and afflict and torment you. But if you don't give him any space, he can't do anything. Am I communicating? Glory to God. So, let's finish our reading. It says, when God made that promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. You know, there are people that go to, for instance, in the Igbo land, whenever there is a dispute or something, for instance, a woman's husband died, maybe he's a very rich man, and then his people start accusing the wife, and now you killed him so that you can inherit his wealth and chop his money. The brother say you are the one. The sister say you are the one. The woman say, I'm innocent. He say, no, we no go agree. He say, let us go and swear in a man. If you are innocent, if it is true that you are innocent, let's go to Ezemo shrine. Have you? And then they go to the Ezemo shrine. They will now swear by Amadioha. That's a greater to them. That's a greater deity, right? It's greater than human beings, they believe. So usually when human beings swear, they swear by a greater power. They swear by a higher deity. Am I communicating? You say, oh yeah, swear. If I'm the one that killed my husband, may Amadioha strike me dead. But if I'm not the one, oh Amadioha, strike all my enemies. You know, the Bible says, for when God made that promise to Abraham, he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. Next verse 14. Saying, surely. Tell your neighbor, surely. It's not maybe, it's surely. Not maybe, it's surely. Certainty. He's talking about certainty. It's not probability. It's not experimentation. It's not guesswork. Surely, he says, surely, blessing I will bless thee. Okay, multiplying I will multiply thee. This was in Genesis 22. Next verse. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Can you shout amen? Next verse. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. This Abrahamic covenant was a blood sworn oath. God said, I swear in blessing, I will bless you. And listen, the Bible says this covenant of promise was not only to Abraham, it was to Abraham and his seed. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:29. And heirs according to the promise. Which promise? The promise of the blessing. So, the blessing covenant that was promised to Abraham through this blood sworn oath that God swore on Abraham has come upon you. Congratulations. 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 Let me tell your neighbor, congratulations. Sworn blessings. Chai! God swear on top your head. Tell me which other person can ever curse you. You see, our problem is we are either ignorant or not conscious of what we have. It doesn't matter the shrine. It doesn't matter the native doctor. It doesn't matter the witch. It doesn't matter the generational curse. It doesn't matter. They came late. They came late. They came late. God have already released what? Sworn blessings. And the blessing is greater than the curse. The blessing will swallow up every curse. Generational curses, curse of the firstborn, Ayagila Balatia. Have you not read? Surely, not maybe, there is no enchantment. Oh, okay. Give me that Numbers 23:23. We'll come back here. Kaya Balasida. The reason why curses are affecting you is because you believe. A man of God wrote a book, The Power of Right Believing. If your believing is wrong, your experience too will be wrong. If see, it matters your belief system. It matters your mindset. As a believer in Christ, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hanged on a tree, that the blessing, sworn blessings of Abraham might come upon you through Jesus Christ, that you may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, this truth sit with them. Meditate on them. Let it be tattooed in your spirit. Let it enter. You know, sometimes you heard something once, you think it has entered. It has not entered. How are we going to know it has not entered? We'll watch your response when problems come.
it will tell us the thing no enter. When you are still going for monthly deliverance, we know the thing has not entered. Am I communicating? Balakuteketea. I do deliverance for people because I know not many people understand these things. And what they believe will be their experience. That's the truth. I break curses over believers. So I did break them with the anointing. Am I communicating? Because I don't know what they believed. I don't know their mindset. And there are people, some people, their faith is weak. So things can happen. But I'm showing you a more excellent way. Let this truth enter you. Am I communicating? Their messages I've listened to more than 100 times. And I'm still listening to them. Sometimes hearing something once is not enough. What is the proof of knowledge? Results. If what you claim to know, we cannot see the fruit of that knowledge in your life, if we cannot see it producing results, then you don't know it the way you ought to know. Go back and know it well. Am I communicating? There is learning. There is relearning. Am I communicating? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The proof that you know something is the result we see. The fruit it bear, and that fruit is result. If they are still pressing your neck every night, please go to media. Celebrate media. Let them give you messages. That's the truth. That means some things we've been teaching have not yet entered you. That's the truth. You say, I've listened to it. No, go and listen again. This time around, listen with prayer. Be mixing it with tongues. Yes, that's how I listen to some messages. I listen to them in tongues. I've listened before, but I know I've not gotten what I'm looking for. I will play it again. This time around, listen to it, praying in tongues. If I didn't get it again, I will listen to it this time around. I will add fasting. Are you getting? If I listen to it with prayer and fasting, I still have not gotten fully what I'm looking for, I will sow seed. So that I can reap 100 fold harvest. You know, when you listen to a message, you can get 30 fold. In fact, you can get 0 fold. In the parable of the sower, he said, those that fell by the wayside, they heard, they didn't understand. Satan cometh immediately and stole it. What percent did they get? 0. So there is 0%, there is 30 fold, there is what? 60 fold. There is what? What is the best? 100 fold. And I'm showing you how to get 100 fold harvest. You've got to be serious. You are listening, you are chatting, you are Facebooking, you say you are listening to message, you are joking. If you get 30 fold, God even try. Now 0 fold, you go chop. Am I communicating? There has to be a focus. You are like an archaeologist. You are like a what do they call those people that explore space? Astronaut. You are looking for something. You are searching. You are hunting. Your heart is panting. Ready to receive. With a heart of faith. With a heart of honor. With hunger in your heart. That's how do you learn. Am I communicating? Me and you can listen to the same message. The things I will hear, you will not hear. The things I will see, you will not see. It depends on the preparation of your heart. There is a heart preparation to receive the seed of the word. Am I communicating? Some of you are even listening to message, you are eating food. Where my meat? This meat too small. Praise God. See, I'm telling you practical things so that will change your life, that will help your life. Hi, what brought me here? Oh, Sudhir, remind me, what was I talking about?
Hebrews 6, ba?
Okay, Numbers 23:23. Numbers, anybody that stood on any demonic altar to curse you, they came late. Anywhere they took your picture to, it's too late. It's too late. You are too blessed to be cursed. You are too blessed to be small. You know, the blessing engenders greatness. The blessing made Abraham great. The blessing made David great. All the great people in scripture was because God blessed them. The blessing is a supernatural empowerment. It provokes success. It gives you victory. Am I communicating? You are not ordinary. There is more to you than meets the eyes. Blood is speaking for you. Your success has been signed, sealed, secured, stamped by blood. You know, the average cultist, whether in Black Axe or which cult now, help me now. They are different, eh? What? Help me now. Black Brazier for female. It's not only men too. Female too have their cult. I heard there's Black Brazier. Which one? The average cult member, you know, there is a woman sacrifice and woman blood some of them drink. But when they promote them, when they want higher power, is woman sacrifice and they drink woman blood. They do all those rituals. And listen, because the guy drank or the lady drank woman blood and then they did some ritual, guess what? They become bold and confident. What is giving, what is sponsoring that boldness and confidence is the woman blood and sacrifice that they drank. I hope you know. So they believe they cannot fail. Why? Because of the blood sacrifice. They believe when they shoot them, Odeshi, you no go enter. Why? Because of what? The woman blood sacrifice. So, can you see that becomes, that sacrifice becomes the basis of their confidence. It becomes the basis of their boldness and audacity. They become fearless. They can talk to anybody anyhow. They don't even fear no lecturer. They can talk to any lecturer and even threaten him because they believe something is backing them. What is that something? Blood sacrifice. On the basis of that, they are confident, they are bold, they are brave. Woman blood, though, at best. But what of you that drink communion? Wait. Many of you have been drinking communion. Do you know the meaning of what you are doing? Are you aware of the implication, the significance of the communion? Jesus said, take, this is my body, eat. He said, take, this is my blood, the new covenant testament in my blood. He said, drink. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as you drink that communion cup, he said, you are drinking his blood. So we too, they drink blood. I say we too, they drink blood. We too, they eat. You know, witches, they say, I once interviewed a witch. She told me how they killed, she donated her father in the witchcraft coven. They asked for sacrifice. Everybody must bring somebody. You see how wicked Satan is. Her own, it was her turn. She brought her father. That they killed him in the witchcraft coven and ate his meat and drank his blood. Then in the physical, the father was afflicted with one illness that had no, in fact, they took him from hospital to hospital. She was telling me this story, that doctors could not find any head or tail about the illness. The man, finally, it was Jude, he went and died there. Now, the doctors will be busy clacking the patient,
examining. Eh? Check for pallor. Check for pallor. Yes.
And which one again? Auscultate the chest, breath sound. Check heartbeat. Examine the abdomen. Check vital signs. They are treating him. Doctor is writing. Meanwhile, in the realm of the life is spiritual. In the realm of, they don't chop in meat. She told me that as far as she is concerned, she knew the father is gone. But in the physical, they were carrying him everywhere. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Kalabaka sabalakataya. So in the witchcraft coven, they ate his meat. We too, we drink blood and we eat the body of Jesus in communion. See, the next time, I think we should take communion on Sunday. Miracle service, ba? Next Sunday is miracle service. We are going to take communion. I know you've been taking communion before, but I want you this time, thank God I'm doing this teaching, so that you will have understanding and revelation of that communion. That bread you are breaking is the blood, the flesh, the body of Jesus that was broken for you. So we too, we are eating flesh. So it is a flesh eating and blood drinking service. I say it is a blood drinking service. And as we drink the blood of Jesus and eat his flesh through the communion table, we are what? Renewing the covenant. We are renewing the covenant. We are activating our altar. And we are activating all the blessings and benefits of the new covenant. You saw them in that Revelation 5:12. It said, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." So as you are taking the communion, just in your mind, be reminded of and be conscious of all the blessings and benefits of the new covenant that Jesus ratified with his blood. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive for himself, no, for us. Number one, what? Power. So as you are taking, I receive power. Aya. Agbaranla. Aya. That's how you take the communion. We in this ministry, we've seen people that they receive their healing just by taking communion. You remember? There was one miracle service? I can't even remember. Oh, you know, I was just led communion service. I say, if you know you are sick or you have pain anywhere in your body, before everybody else started taking communion, I say, come out, take communion. I think there were like two or so. They took it, no prayer, oh, to show you the power of the communion. I say, take it. After taking it, I say, yeah, check for the symptoms. And they checked, they couldn't find it. They were healed. That's how powerful healing power is inside that communion. Miracle working power is inside. Some of you will take that communion, an impartation of the spirit of wisdom. Uncommon money-making ideas, business exploit ideas will just be coming to you. Even in your sleep, you are receiving them. Am I communicating? Don't miss next Sunday. It's miracle healing impartation plus communion. We'll be renewing the covenant. I say we are renewing the covenant and activating the covenant. How? Through what? The power of communion. So don't be intimidated by all those cultists. At best, it's human blood now. Is it not human sacrifice? There is something higher. The blood of Jesus. And that's the one you have. That's the one you drink. That's the one. Hi. How can a believer be afraid of cultists? No, it can happen. It can happen.
I'm not saying it's correct, but it can be some people's experience. Now, if you ever find yourself afraid of cultists like that, that means you need to go back to this message and re-listen to it the way I say you should listen to it, until something enter you. I think it was in the University of Benin, some cultists were on a mission, just shooting everywhere, shooting into the air, scaring students. Students were running away. Cultists are coming, oh, cultists are. There was a believer with a lady. They were on evangelism. And the cultists are shooting. They are coming, oh, they are coming. Run, 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 hide. The guy said, hide where? He said, inside bush. He said, with the Holy Ghost. With the people say, greater is he that is in you. You know what you carry? Do you know who you carry? With the Holy Ghost. If there is anybody that should run from who? Who is supposed to run from who? You continue to run as long as you are afraid of gun. Yeah, I'm not afraid. I've seen it. No weapon. I've meditated on that scripture until he entered me. No weapon. I don't believe guns and bomb can kill me. I don't believe. It's not in the Bible. Do you know? Let me tell you the truth. Do you know why you are thinking that way, that it can kill you? It's because your mind has been schooled to believe so. Anything you keep hearing and seeing, you start believing, whether right or wrong. How? Through movies, all those American movies, including Nigerian movie. Say, and now I'm going to shoot you and you will die. Hey, you will shoot me. Hey, you have shot me. Now I can now die. See, your mind has been schooled to believe so. I'm just trying to teach them. Maybe we should start acting kingdom movies to change people's mindsets. You need to change your belief system. Renew your mind. Find out what he has said. He said, therefore shall no evil befall you. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. That's my reality. Anything God says in his word is my reality. Not what is happening. Not what I'm seeing in movies. Am I communicating? Anything and everything God says is the reality of the matter. He says, surely they shall gather, but not by me. It doesn't matter the demonic gang up, they gang up in witchcraft coven, they gang up in the camp of the enemy. He says, surely they shall gather. He says, ah, they are gathering against me. Relax. Is scriptural. He says, surely they shall gather. So if they fulfill the first part, they must fulfill the second part. He said, but not by me. It's not God that called for that meeting. Whosoever is gathered against you, how will they end? They shall fall for your sake. So if they fulfill A part, they must fulfill the B part. Their failure is already written, sealed and stamped. Therefore shall no evil befall you. You read it in Psalm 91. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Listen, what you believe is what becomes your experience. Your revelation determines your experience. We serve the same God, but how come we have different experiences? It's because of our revelation or the lack of it. It's what defines your destination. Your revelation determines your manifestation. Your revelation determines your destination. Your revelation determines your experience. The quality of your life as a believer on earth is determined and decided by revelation, knowledge of the truth that you assess. No wonder Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth you know
and apply will make you free. Am I communicating? Numbers 23:23. I meditated on that scripture. Give me in I want NIV. Say no enchantment. There is no sorcery. Hi. No sorcery against Jacob. Put your name there. No sorcery against Luca. No divination against Israel. Give me a New Living Translation. Because you are the handiwork of the Lord. Aha. I like it. This is what I'm looking for. He said, no curse can touch. Let's read it. Put your name there instead of Jacob and Israel. 1, 2, 3, go. No curse can touch Luca. No magic has any power against Luca. Because the covenant that I have is the highest, the strongest, the most powerful covenant. Any other covenant, any other charm, any other thing that sponsors the cause is inferior to the one I have. So how can it work against me? Am I communicating? The reason why people suffer curses is because they believe it can affect them. And if they believe it will affect them, that's the truth. It will affect them. Ignorance, fear, disobedience, deception. These are the ways Satan uses to make people open door for him to come in. As long as you don't give him any space, he cannot have one. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Say it again. In the name of Jesus, no curse can touch me. No magic has any power against me. For now, it will be said of me what wonders God has done for my life. We are for signs and we are for wonders. Is that what Joshua said? He said, as for me and my house, we are for signs and we are for wonders. Because we are children of the covenant. Curses cannot affect children of the covenant. You heard the testimony of our dear sister. they know they steal from covenant people. There's what we call covenant exemption. He said the person came and stole the phone of the person that is even that hide the phone under bed. But our own that was on top of the bed, they could not touch it. Because there were angels of the covenant. Ready to slap any thief. There's what we call covenant exemption. Even those plague in Egypt didn't touch the children of Israel. Because of the covenant. And this one is OTO, Old Testament, Old Covenant. How much more the new one? Think of it now. Think about it. Malakudeke barakatai. The flood that drowned the whole world did not affect Noah and his family. 8 of them in the ark. The flood that destroyed, devastated, damaged the whole world, the flood of judgment, was the same flood that supported the ark of Noah and lifted the ark of Noah above the ground. Hey, see, what does that mean? Because of the covenant, the things that destroy, damage, devastate others, we support you, we favor you, we help you. He says, though darkness arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He said, though darkness shall cover the earth, it's a prophetic darkness, and gross darkness the people. But, I say, but, the Lord, that
that's talking on covenant exemption. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to your light, and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. That means the period of dark gloom and doom for the people of the world is coinciding with the period of glory, the period of boom. On one end, economic doom, economic recession. On the other end, covenant people, economic boom. Hallelujah. Listen. The plagues, the things the people of the world are suffering, is not for you. Be conscious of this covenant. Everybody is failing their exam. They are not talking to you now. Everybody is catching that sickness, catching COVID, catching whatever. They are not talking to you. There is an exemption for the people of God. By that covenant, blood is speaking. I say blood is speaking. It will fry every virus. It will fry Kalakute Kepalati. Have you not heard of John G. Lake during the days of bubonic plague? In South Africa, the plague is so contagious that if you come around and even touch somebody that is infected, you will become infected. But to their surprise, while everybody was isolated and running away from those that were victims of that bubonic plague because of the highly contagious nature, they were surprised that John G. Lake was helping those that were affected, the patients of the bubonic plague. He was carrying them, helping them. Then they noticed that nothing is wrong. They waited for him to be sick like them. The guy was normal. They had to interview him. Say, we don't understand. Come. You've been helping these people, touching them. Their secretion is touching you. How come you are not infected like others? And then John G. Lake, he knew something they did not know. He had something they did not have. Eternal life. Zoe. The life of God. That cannot be infected by bubonic plague. The life of God that cannot be affected by virus. The incorruptible life is not subject to sickness. That life is not subject to decay. It's not subject to death. It will destroy cancer. It will destroy infirmities. You see, I tell you that the things of the spirit, they are activated by a consciousness. There is a particular consciousness. As I'm talking like this, I can be talking normally like this. But if I want to activate the anointing now into manifestation, there is a kind of consciousness that my mind will switch into. There's a kind of consciousness that we activate. The moment I switch to that mode, everything has changed. Are you getting me? I'm just trying to show you how spiritual things operate. There's a consciousness. Tell your neighbor, be conscious of the covenant, of the blessings of the covenant, the promise, covenant of promise. John G. Lake explained to them why he could not be infected. Is it because he had the life of God, and that life destroys the bubonic plague virus? They didn't believe him. They said, okay, let's do experiment. Under microscope, real time experiment, they took those secretion from the people that were sick having the bubonic plague that usually infect people. They took the secretion, they put it on his hand under microscope. They were watching it. Then initially it looked as if, when they put it immediately, it looked as if the pathogens, the virus, they were alive. Then after a while, they were surprised that all of them were dead.
Tell your neighbor, all of them were dead. What happened? They came into contact with Zoe. That sickness destroying life. But you can be a Christian and be sick if you don't have this understanding and you don't have this consciousness. Are you seeing something? My wife once said, since we got married, she has never seen me take Panadol for headache. She's not lying. It's true. It's true. It's because these are my cogitations. This is my synesis. This is my consciousness. Does that mean symptoms don't attack my body? They do. Symptoms attack my body. Fever, headache, pain. But I know what to do when they come. I know how to address them. You know, you won't be afraid of a problem when you have the solution. Is it not when you don't have solution to a problem that you become afraid, you become scared, you become agitated? I know what to do. God forbid, I go to Jute and then they diagnose me with 1 year illness, I know what to do. I will kill that thing. It will die. That report will change. Somebody said the power of the covenant. There was a man of God, Kenneth Copeland. He believes that he will never have gray hair. He's 80, how many years now? 81? 88, something like that. And do you know till date? I don't know whether it has changed. You will see, the last time I was watching him recently, I was looking for gray hair somewhere. I couldn't find one. These are men that understand the power of the co- it is unto you according to your faith. I say it is unto you according to your faith. The revelation and consciousness of this new covenant is what sponsors faith. Is what sponsors unshakable confidence. Is what sponsors unshakable faith. The reason why some of you, your faith is like this. Eh? Your faith is always vacillating. It's because you don't yet have a revelation. And neither are you conscious of the power of this new covenant. Hallelujah. It is unbreakable. It cannot bounce. It cannot fail. God swore by himself. Let's finish our reading. Hebrews chapter 6. He said, when God could not find anybody greater than him, he swore by himself. That is how reliable this covenant is. That is how failure proof the covenant is. It's not subject to failure. Listen, for this covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, fulfilled in Christ in the new covenant, for it to fail is for God to die. Did you hear what I just said? For it to fail is for God to die. So the question is, can God die? So can you see how reliable? It is worth taking your everything on. You can stake your life on it. It cannot bounce. It cannot fail. The word of that oath is there, backing it. For it to fail is for God to self-destruct. When God made that, okay, next verse. Next verse, is it in blessing or blessing? And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Next verse. For men verily swear by the greater, and oath for confirmation is to them an end of strife. Next verse. Wherein God, look at this verse very well. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise? Does that include you? So it's not only Abraham. It's talking of Abraham and his seed. Okay? It says the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. What's the meaning of immutable? Something that cannot be changed. Unchangeableness. The immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Next verse. That by two immutable things. What are those two immutable things? Number one, the oath that God swore. Number two, his counsel. So the immutable counsel of God plus the sworn oath of God are two immutable things. It says, in which it was impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for this covenant to fail, because it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
You can take it to the bank. What is even bank? Take it to anywhere. You can stake your life on it. It cannot fail. The life of God, the throne of God, everything is backing it. God swore, and then his immutable counsel. Next verse. Which hope we have. Can you see the basis of our Bible hope? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You know, if human being promise you something, from that point they promise you, you start having hope, right? You start having hope. A mental picture of it, okay? A confident expectation of some of that thing to come to you. That's hope. But guess what? Human beings can fail. True of us. But see the way they look at me. Has anybody ever promised you something and did not fulfill it? That's human hope. Has federal government ever promised politicians during electioneering campaign, when they are canvassing for vote, have they ever promised you something and then when they got into power, what happened? They started talking with the other side of their mouth. So human hope can fail, but not Bible hope that is based on the word of God. Concerning Abraham, he said, who against hope, he believed in hope. Against the hope of natural childbirth, he believed in the supernatural hope that the word of God gave him. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. He said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Next verse. Whither the forerunner, who is the forerunner, is for us entered. Even Jesus, made an high priest. Hallelujah. Yesterday I thought extensively on priesthood, royal priesthood. If you missed yesterday, Kai, we have only one question for you. Where were you? May you not miss the rapture in Jesus' name. When they say come to church, come for meetings, some people know they come. Is that not how Thomas missed church service one day? He missed program that Jesus organized. Jesus appeared to others. Thomas was not there. Then they came after Jesus had gone. They told Thomas, you missed that meeting. Say, Jesus came up. He is resurrected, alive. He said, no, I don't believe. He said, oh, yeah. He became doubting Thomas, because he missed that encounter service. His name changed. Today, if they mention Thomas, the thing that comes to your mind is the doubt. So until I put my hand, I see the nail-scared hand, and put my hand there, and put my hand to his side, and put before I believe.
doubting thoughts. You don't know what you miss when you miss meetings. So, Jesus was made an high priest forever after the order. How many of you remember the order of Melchizedek? After the rank of Melchizedek. And we say the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek even predated the Levitical priesthood. It predated the Aaronic priesthood. Melchizedek pre-existed the tribe of Levi. Melchizedek pre-existed Aaron and his sons, who were called to the priesthood under the old covenant. And he said Jesus, by the word of that oath, was made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And guess what? Part of the blessings of this new covenant is the priesthood. He has made us what? Kings and priests. Which kind of priests are we? After the order of what? Is he Levi? Is he Aaron? After which order? Melchizedek. After the rank, after the authority of Melchizedek. So it's part of the blessing of Abraham. Priesthood. Kingship. All of that. Glory to God. So I said the revelation and consciousness of the covenant is what sponsors unshakable confidence and faith in this Christian life. The Abrahamic covenant, which was ultimately fulfilled in Christ through the new covenant in his blood, is a covenant of grace born out of God's unfailing love. Oh, do you know why God cut that covenant, the Abrahamic covenant? It's because of his overwhelming desire to express his love towards Abraham and his seed. God's unfailing love is eternal love. His overwhelming desire to do us good is goodness. So it's a covenant of grace. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8 verse 15. And when we say joint heirs, we are not talking of co-heirs. Romans 8 verse 15. Let's look at something there. Romans 8 15. Shabalakovrekete. Say, we have not received the spirit. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit himself, actually in New King James, beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? How do you know you are a child of God? The inward witness, right? It's not a voice. It's an inward supernatural knowing. You are signaled from within by the Holy Spirit that you are a child of God. Praise God. I say praise God. We call it that assurance of salvation. Okay? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. So who is our Father? Who gave birth to us? So this is talking about sonship. It's part of the blessings of the covenant. Sonship. And sonship has rights and privileges. You are a son of God, and God is called a king. God is a great king. That means you are royalty. Let me tell you, neighbor, do you know you are royalty? Listen, the day you got born again, you were born into God's royal family of love. You were born into your inheritance, your blood-bought inheritance in Christ. So you are not poor. I say you are not poor. You have a blood-bought inheritance. It costed the blood of Jesus to purchase that inheritance. It's part of your sonship rights and privileges. Am I communicating?
Can you remember the story of the prodigal son and his elder brother? The prodigal son met the father. The father was still alive. He was in a hurry. He didn't even wait for the father to die to claim his inheritance. The man was still alive. He said, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. Give me my own portion. And the father did not say no. Out of love, the father gave him. Kai! And he went and squandered it. Traveled to a far country. Spent it anyhow. Wasted it on harlots. Lodging in the best hotels. Carrying prostitutes here and there. Wasted everything. When it finished, famine started. Heavyweight famine. The guy was now in need. Hungry. No food to eat. Nobody gave to him. Because he didn't sow any seed. He didn't give to God. He didn't give to man in his days of abundance. So, he's reaping what he sowed. I mean, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth not at all shall reap not at all. It's like that. 1 million times zero is zero. So, the guy, idea came to him. He went and met a man that had a piggery. He said he wants to work for the man. So when they are giving pig food, he was eating part of the food. Him and pig, they were dragging for food to eat. This is son of a royal. He left his father's presence. And then when the suffering was too much, the guy sat down to hold a meeting with himself by himself. Oh, thinking is powerful. Sometimes hunger is good. It forces you to think. You know, there are some breakthrough ideas that will not come until hunger mama you sometimes. You understand? Hunger sometimes is not totally bad. Do you know? Somebody say, when you have plenty money, most of the times you don't make the right decision. You just be wasting the money. But when the thing is remaining 2 naira 50 kobo, suddenly you become wise. Empty pocket can be a good teacher sometimes, so teaches wisdom. The guy is a guy. See a whole me. A me. They struggle for food with pig. When I have my father, when I was with my father, servants were serving me food. He said, even my father's servants are not suffering like this. The guy held meeting, He then, after thinking, he came to a drill conclusion. He engaged strategic thinking and came up with action plan. He said, I will arise and go back to my father. He even rehearsed what he will say. I will say, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He rehearsed it. As he was going back home, he was rehearsing it. The father was waiting for him all the while. The moment the father saw him from afar, he ran and hugged him. Oh, the fatherhood of love. You need to understand the fatherhood of God's love. No, some of us, the idea of God we have is a religious one. We see God as our enemy. We see God like one mean guy up there in the sky. You need to change that mindset, because it will affect your relationship with God, even your prayer life. Understand, God is not against you. Bible says, if God be for us, God is not in partnership with Satan to make your life hard. God is not responsible for your problem. He is your solution. God is not your enemy. Rather, He is your helper to defeat your enemy. Am I communicating? It matters the picture of God we have in our heart. Because this is what is killing, affecting, crippling people's faith. They have the wrong picture of God. Some even believe God is the one that put the sickness on them to make them humble. That means the sickest person should be the most humble person, if that is true. Or is that the case? See, it's because me, I talk too much. God wanted to make me humble. That's why he made me to be dumb. But you can pray for me, oh. Where will the faith to receive the healing come from? Because faith can only begin where the will of God is known. If you have believed that lie that God was the one that put the sickness on you, you cannot muster any faith now. Faith will not rise for you to receive your healing. Am I communicating? Say, this one is my own tone in the flesh. You see? This is my diabetes. Just leave him. It's my own tone in the flesh. You won't understand. I think I've addressed that issue of tone in the flesh. Paul's tone in the flesh. It was December miracle service. Healing Jesus. Get the message. That I corrected that wrong teaching. The tone is not from God, neither is it sickness. It was a messenger of Satan. It's not a literal physical tone. It was a metaphor. What is a metaphor? Figure of speech used to describe the messenger of Satan. Because of the abundance of the revelation. And that was a demon responsible for all the persecution Paul suffered. All those times Paul will go and preach somewhere. Some people will take oath that they will never either eat or drink until Paul died. All those riots stirred up is the ministry of that messenger of Satan. And we saw how Paul finally overcame him. And Paul said when he cried to God in prayer, some people say God did not answer. But Bible did not say so. God's answer was the same all the three times. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, the grace of God is the solution. God was telling Paul, take advantage of my grace. Use your God-given authority and deal with that messenger of Satan. And Paul finally dealt with him, because we read that Paul stayed for 3 years in his own hired house, preaching the gospel, receiving people, and no man forbade him. Before then, you will not hear that statement that no man forbade him, because the messenger of Satan was making people, other Paul will be preaching, some people will go, hey, na lie, those things they talk na lie for synagogue. So he finally got the victory. Am I communicating? Hi, wait till carry me come here. People don't want me to finish my message today. Oh, I must finish. Praise God. But are you getting blessed? We are heirs of God. Romans 8:17. And joint heirs with Christ. When we say joint heirs, it's not 50-50. Co-heir is different from joint heir. Co-heir means 50% belong to you, 50% belong to the other party. But joint heir means 100%, 100%. Everything you have, everything belongs to you, and everything also belongs to the other person. Just like in marriage. Am I communicating? So it is 100-100. Everything that belongs to Christ in this new covenant also belongs to you. That's why Apostle Paul said all things are yours. It's because we are joint heirs with Christ. All things are yours. Let me tell your neighbor, because you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, all things are yours. Everything God willed to Abraham is now your present tense possession. You know, God willed the whole world to one man called Abraham and his seed. And that is where we will come in. So this world belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the devil. We are the real Onile. Is it Onile they call it? We are the landlord of this world. We are the real landlord. Am I communicating? Abraham saw the world and God gave it to him. Do you believe this?
Kai. Pastor Sheik say Kai. That means your name is on every dollar bill. Do you believe this? All the money in World Bank, CBN, IMF. All things. Does it fall into the category of all things? All the gold, diamond mines, oil wells. Nothing is too good for you. You know, some people, when God start blessing them, they start feeling guilty. They start feeling guilty. They start apologizing for the goodness of God, for the blessings of God. Say, God, I beg you, too much. Your vision is too small. That's the problem. You don't have a kingdom vision. You don't have a kingdom vision. Which day, Zev, I sat down and I said, I wrote down what I will do with $100 billion if God blesses with me now. As in, I wrote it down. I wrote I started writing the how many churches we will plant, how many cities and nations we will be doing crusade. I was writing the, and then I was calculating the cost of each meeting, each crusade, and the cost of planting standard church. 3,000 members, 5,000 members, 100,000 members. So I know what to do with 100 billion. In fact, when I finished calculating, the money was not enough. Meanwhile, some of you, just come on, 1 million. Enlarge your vision. Enlarge your mind. Elevate your thinking. Think kingdom. Think kingdom. Think kingdom. I started, the money no reach. I counted all this welfare program. I said, calculate. Do you know how many poor people are in Plateau? How many widows are orphans? How many displaced people in IDP camp? How many people are roasting with hunger? How many children are dying of? Do you know hunger is killing more children in Africa than malaria, than HIV? Are you aware? The deadliest disease killing most people in Africa is called hunger. Hunger, no food. No food, no water. Is worse than any other, than malaria, than HIV, than any other sickness. And the Bible says we are blessed to be a blessing. Have you thought of borrowing Nigerian federal government money before? When will you fulfill that scripture? He said you shall lend to nations and shall not borrow. When will you fulfill it? Have you thought of it? That you were so rich. Now, you know, Nigerian government, they like to borrow. The other time they went above. Now, you are so rich that you are even richer than IMF. You are richer than Paris Club. You are richer than World Bank. That they have to come and borrow money from you, federal government. Just imagine Jagaban negotiating. Please just borrow us 30 billion dollars. Just borrow us. We'll pay back in like 10 years. The covenant makes you bigger than nations. Fire. Do you know Abraham became like a nation? Abraham had his own private army. Individuals are not permitted to have private army. It has to be a nation. Nigerian army, US army, Ghanaian military force, Abraham military force.
when nations went to battle, Abraham carried his own soldiers too, as a nation. You've not heard of the mystery of the 10th king. Abraham was the 10th king. Remember, 4 kings defeated 5 kings. Those 4 kings led by Chedorlaomer. And then they carried Lot as part of this thing. Abraham was the 9th king. Ah, yeah. Because the blessing has kingship attached. He was the 10th king. He went with his own army, 314 trained servants, and defeated them all and carried the spoil of 9 nations. When you read that he gave a tenth of the spoil to Melchizedek, you were thinking a one mudu of rice and tatashe. What were you thinking? The spoils of 9 nations gathered. That's company title. Some of you have business, but you don't tithe your business. You are not wise. Connect it to the covenant. There is personal tithe. There is business company tithe. The first tithe Abraham paid was not even personal tithe. It was a company tithe. Are you seeing something? Praise God. I say praise God. My prayer is that may you become big. Change your... we are physically injured, but truly, truly, I also say akika, akika. In my mind, I've gone beyond just. In fact, in my mind, I don't think like plateau people. Sorry, I'm also from plateau. You know, there's a way they think. My wife said there's a mindset. There's a way plateau people think. There's a mindset that we need to change. You know, is there somebody say they are doing business? They have to be begging them to come and sell to customers, to even open shop. You come by 9 a.m., they have no open shop. And you wonder why poverty is their next door neighbor. Then when they finally call them, they say, why, ne? Why, ne? We should knock your head. If you don't want to do that business, close the shop. You are not serious. Okay, Genesis, have you not been so? So, how can you be doing business that way? Even Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand, not too much, a little. He said your poverty will come like an armed robber, like armed bandit. Am I communicating? You know, to be serious. That's why I like these my Igbo brothers. Even when you are not going to their shop, you are just passing by. Yeah, brother, you won't buy this one. You understand? You have to be diligent. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings and not mere men. All the covenant fathers were not lazy people. They were diligent with their business. No place for laziness. No future for the lazy man, both in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of darkness. Even Satan cannot work with a lazy man. Is it easy to be holding meeting 12 midnight? Those that do cult, then to occult, witches in the coven, 2 a.m. You are snoring on the bed. They are doing meeting. It takes diligence. And if they burn you well, no attend that meeting. Satan does not have mercy. He doesn't have mercy. You must suffer. There must be consequence. The devil does not have mercy. He doesn't pity people. It's not God that you can say, oh, Father, have mercy. Serving Satan hard, though. It's very hard. It takes plenty of work. Do you know the amount of diligence it takes to rob a bank? Successful bank robbery, and they no catch them. Is it easy? Do you know the kind of mental work before even manual work. Do you know the kind of planning, strategizing? They will even send some of their people to even go and open account just to study the security system of the bank. All the places they have camera, they have mapped it out. All the areas that soldiers, the security point, they know how many minutes the closest police station is, so that in case police are coming, they know all the possible road to pass. They know where the vault is. It's work. Plenty work. That's why I said there is no future for the lazy person. Not even in the kingdom of darkness. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Wake up. Yahoo Yahoo easy. Go and check those Yahoo Yahoo guys. Easy to hack. So into those guys, they don't give up. Oh. They can have like 100 people's number. Those scammers, they believe somehow one of them must form Mugu. They will start calling. They have called me before. Have they not called you before? You just lie that you just won so so amount. You won 3 million. Say they are doing Coca-Cola promo. You just won 3 million. Say, they'll say, congratulations. There was one that called me that, congratulations, you just got a job. You just got a job offer right now. They pay in dollars, in fact. Say, is it not Dr. Luca I'm talking to? I say, yeah, it's Dr. Luca. I engaged him. I was looking at time for calling me for your foolishness. I was saying in my mind, I must chop your credit. So I was making it look as if I was playing along. You understand? It's when the guy saw that, in credit they go. He then cut the call, thinking I will call back. I didn't call back. But I knew that this one are 419. But my concern is their level of doggedness. Look at their determination, their resilience, their commitment. They can have like 200 phone numbers. They will call all of them that day. And they believe that at least one or two or more will work. And guess what? It has worked for them. It has worked. You try small business. You try small. One or two attempt, you fail, and then you give up. You are not serious. You are not serious. You need more determination than that to succeed. Eh? You try small, it no work. You try small, it no work. Eh? Even God, you know how much God tried to redeem humanity, right from the Old Testament. He gave them the law, it no work. He sent the prophets, it no work. God was doing everything. When every method failed, God didn't give up. He came himself in form of Jesus. And that one work. Am I communicating? Oh. Pray in tongues 1 minute. Pray in tongues. Kapora sidaha frakatanas. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. We are the seed of Abraham and heirs of the blessing. Galatians 3:29. Our blood-bought inheritance in Christ includes our eternal redemption, includes salvation and all its blessings and benefits. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. It says, for as much ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your elders, but with the precious blood of Christ. You see, his blood purchased and procured our eternal redemption as of a lamp without blemish and without spot. Can you shout amen? Acts 20:32, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So we have an inheritance in Christ that was purchased for us at the cost of the blood of Jesus, which is the highest price. The highest sacrifice was made. Am I communicating? In Colossians 1:12, he said, giving thanks unto God the Father, who has made us meet, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint in light. We partake of our inheritance in the light of revelation knowledge. Eternal redemption. To redeem means to buy back by paying a price. To buy back or purchase something or someone by paying a price. And what was the price God paid for our redemption? The blood of Jesus. The life of Jesus. Hebrews 9:12. So all these blessings and benefits of our redemption and salvation, they are all part of the covenant benefits. Our covenant benefits, they are all part of our blood-bought inheritance. He says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Jesus, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. So, Psalm 68:19, it says, blessed be God who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So, all these daily loads of divine benefits of our salvation, they are all part of our covenant benefits, our covenant blessings, our covenant rights and privileges. And salvation is a package, is a big package. Okay, it includes being born again. So the new creation in Christ, the new birth, is part of the what? Is part of what? Help me. Covenant what? Blessings and benefits. Glory to God. So, as a result of this new covenant, new birth is possible. We can be born again. Okay? On the basis of this new covenant, we become new creatures in Christ by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Another blessing of this new covenant is righteousness. The believer in Christ is called the righteousness of God in Christ. Romans 5:17. He says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. So he gave us his righteousness as a gift. Hallelujah. I say he gave us his righteousness as a gift. It's part of the blessings of the new covenant. He gave us his nature. Also, he gave us the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father is part of the blessing. In fact, this is the highest blessing of the new covenant. Did you hear what I just said? What's the highest blessing of the new covenant? The Holy Spirit. He said, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Another blessing of the new covenant is the remission and forgiveness of sins. Psalm 103:1. The remission and what? Forgiveness of sin. The sin problem has been settled. The sin problem has been solved in the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. Through that blood, we have what? Remission and forgiveness. Look up. Let me explain the difference. The two are related. They are not the same. Remission means to blot out, to wipe out something as though it never existed. So the day you got born again, your sins were remitted. As in, the blood of Jesus blotted out your sins, wiped them out completely with no memory of it anywhere, as though it never existed. That's why I say, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Can you accuse a newborn baby of having done anything wrong? You don't have a past. Am I communicating? A new species, a new kind of being, kainos creature, your sins are remitted. Then, now that you are born again, in case you miss the mark, okay? In case you make mistake, you sin, the blood of Jesus also provides forgiveness. Am I communicating? The two are not the same. Remission is for somebody that got born again. God wipes and blots out their past sins as though it never existed. But forgiveness is for a believer now. You know, you are like a little baby from the day you got born again. You don't attain spiritual maturity overnight. Okay, so there are mistakes here and there. We teach and preach and disciple people so that they grow. The cure for some people's sin problem is spiritual growth. Children sin a lot. Children, just like in the physical, children mess up a lot. Have you ever kept a little baby at home? You'll be surprised. You will come back, they will pour all the this thing on. Use your powder, pack all this one. But you don't kill them, Abby. You know they are children. But if you see an adult, somebody with 32 teeth, doing that kind of thing, even you go vex. Oh, what's this rubbish? Because it's not expected of him. And spiritual growth is a journey. So that's why the same blood that provides remission also provides forgiveness. You see, these things, 1 John 2, these things are right to you little children, from verse 1, that are in Christ. He said that ye sin not. He said, if any man sin, in case you sin, we have an advocate. It's a legal term. Do we have lawyers in the house amongst us? Who is an advocate? Counsel for the defense, right? Counsel. So when Satan the accuser is coming to accuse you, he stole meat from pot yesterday, 2 a.m. When other innocent people were sleeping, he stole meat. And it's even the biggest one that he carried. When the accuser comes with his accusation, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. And that word advocate, God is like the righteous judge. Satan the accuser is here with his lawyer. No, Satan doesn't have a lawyer. He's the lawyer himself. You know, he's the accuser. He accuses them day and night. He's not tired. Jesus is your advocate. You the accused. You just messed up. You just sinned. Okay? Say, we have an advocate with the Father. That expression, we have an advocate with thee, it means they are on the same side. Hey! They are on the same side. Yes, God is a righteous judge, but he has a predisposition to help you. Why? Because we have an advocate with the Father. It's just like somebody, I'm not mentioning him, somebody that said he won election in this country, and then the other people say they no agree that he rigged the election. Then the guy said, you can go to court, because he knows that the person there, the Chief Justice of Nigeria, is on the same side. Then you can go to court. So, and then we watch the panel. After all the toronchi, and after all the grammar, and after all the this thing, they pass the judgment in his favor. Because he knows that the judge is on his side. So, here is the good news. We too, we have an advocate with the Father. This one is greater than human judges, more than human lawyers. His name is Jesus. Don't die of condemnation. You know, Satan can accuse and condemn people. You committed abortion. You committed. Yeah, you want to pray? Hey. People they pray, you too won't pray. Even if God go hear people, this you. Even Satan go say, God forbid. Condemnation. Even you, it's true. So, as you lift up your hand to worship God, Satan will just remind you. You lied yesterday. You messed up. And then your faith is deflated. The hand lifted. Just... That is how the prayer ended. Condemnation. It's not God that is condemning you. Rid yourself of condemnation. The blood of Jesus is there. Cleanses us from all sin. Am I communicating? Don't be sin conscious. Be righteousness conscious. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. If you want to live above sin, be righteousness conscious. That's why he said, awake to righteousness. Many are not righteous. Do you know why in the Old Testament they keep coming year after year doing offering for sin? Should I tell you? It's because of sin consciousness. Hebrews 10 told us there is an annual remembrance for sin because the people were suffering from sin consciousness. And it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goat to remove that sin consciousness and purge their conscience. It took the blood of Jesus to do that. If you sin, repent, receive forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, and refuse every form of condemnation, move on with your life. And when God forgives, he forgets. He does not remember. So the next time you are asking for forgiveness for the same sin that you've already, he has forgiven you, God will ask you, what are you talking about? He said, I'm he that blots out thy transgression and will remember thy sin no more. But the problem is, when God forgives and forgets, it's not because of you, it's because of Jesus, his blood. Okay? When he forgives and forgets, he does not remember. But you still remember. You have the date. Then Satan too remembers. So Satan is still reminding you, and you are still reminding yourself. You see, that's your problem. And then you live in condemnation. Forget! Tell your neighbor, forget! If God that has forgiven you has forgotten, why should you not forget? We need to deal with sin consciousness, because this is what is killing many people's faith. Say, I receive forgiveness. I receive remission. But this is not an excuse for you to go and be messing up. Who go slap you? Say, because my sins are forgiven. You now stole church offering. Ah, may God. We go catch you, you go see. Thank God we have soldiers outside. So let's give you frog jump. Am I communicating? You've not heard of the chastisement of grace. Eh? God forgives, God forgets. But when you get to certain age, you are still messing up. It's going to discipline you. As a child, it will correct you. But when you attain some level and you are still messing up, this time around is what? Chastisement. It's not condemnation, no. It's called chastisement. And it's an act of love. Because the son God loves, he disciplines, he chastises. And chastisement no means say he go just dash you one sickness. Mm-mm. He uses the rod of his word, and he uses other methods to chastise you. Praise God. Woo! Because of the new covenant, we have healing. Give me that Psalm 103 from verse 1. We have healing. It says divine healing and divine health. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Look at these covenant benefits. Number one, who forgiveth all? Somebody say all. There is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot forgive. All our sins are under the blood. Who healeth all? Somebody say all. All thy diseases. Next verse. Divine healing, divine health is part of your covenant benefits. God heals you because of the covenant. Healing and health. Next, who redeemed thy life from destruction? Divine deliverance. Deliverance from death, deliverance from destruction, deliverance from danger and all evil is part of the blessing covenant. Divine protection, divine preservation. Because of this covenant, you enjoy supernatural safety and security. Next, okay, no, take it back. There's another benefit I want to bring out there. Who crowned thee with his loving kindness and tender mercy? Hallelujah. We enjoy the mercies of God. We enjoy divine favor. We enjoy the loving kindness of God because of the covenant. This is the basis for favor. And this is our month of what? Abundant favor. It's part of the blessings. We enjoy the sure mercies of David because of this covenant. Hallelujah. God is predisposed to show us his kindness. Just like Mephibosheth. David showed Mephibosheth kindness because of whose sake? Jonathan. Because of his covenant with Jonathan. That is how God lavishes us with his mercy, his favor, his kindness, because of the covenant with Jesus ratified with his blood. Am I communicating? Then, who, next verse, satisfied your mouth with good things? Oh, supernatural provision. Surplus supernatural supplies. Surplus abundant provision. It eliminates lack. The covenant eliminates lack. It eliminates shortages. It eliminates scarcity. Can you shout amen? Say in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, I am satisfied with good things. The Lord satisfies me with good things. So you don't go to bed on an empty stomach. It terminates hunger. It terminates lack. It terminates begging and borrowing. It commands abundance. It's a covenant of abundance. You enjoy supernatural wealth, prosperity on the basis of this covenant. Wealth and riches. Look at Abraham. Genesis 13:2. And Abraham was very rich because of this covenant. Say with me, I am very rich. In silver, in gold, in cattle. So he had wealth and riches. Am I communicating? Wealth and riches are in my house. Say it boldly. Wealth and riches are in my house because of this covenant. It's part of the blessings of... Listen, all the covenant fathers were loaded. Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them were poor. Go and read your Bible. Even during famine, they worked in abundance because the covenant is stronger than any economy. It's stronger than any economic condition. It's stronger than any adverse economic climate. In Genesis 26 verse 12, look at one covenant person. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year what? 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Can you shout amen? The blessings of the covenant. And as a result of that blessing, look at what happened. And the man waxed great and went forward. Say with me, I'm waxing great by the power of the covenant. I'm waxing great. I'm going forward. I'm growing until I become very great. The covenant makes you great. You are not a non-entity. You are not small. Greatness, it confers greatness. Give me New King James Version. I like the way NKJV puts it. He began to prosper. And the man began to prosper, continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Now, put it and put your name there and read this. 1, 2, 3, go. Luca began to prosper, continued prospering until I become very prosperous. prosperity is in levels. Some of you are dedicating cars. Very soon, you will dedicate your airline. You will dedicate your ship. You will invite me and I will follow you. You will dedicate your yachts. Your companies, conglomerates. By this blood. By this blood covenant. Kabarakatoska. Hi, what am I saying? Somebody here, there is somebody I'm seeing that the Lord has put in your heart to have an airline company. I just saw it now. And the Lord said, I should pray for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That dream will come to pass speedily. The Lord will give you the means. By the power of this covenant, step into it now. In the name of Jesus, that airline company will kick off. It will work. We will dedicate it to the glory of God. Some of you, your company, your business will soon become global brand. You have companies in Johannesburg. You have company in US, in various cities in UK, in Japan, in Korea. You have companies Australia, all over the world. They are using your product. Refuse to think small, oh, because the size of your vision will be the boundary of your blessing. It's not how much can God give. It's how much is your visionary capacity. How much can you receive? So enlarge your heart. God gave to Solomon largeness of heart. All the things he did, it's not because God is partial. It's because of his mentality. The largeness of his heart. Built a magnificent temple worth over trillions of dollars in today's money. Next verse. Shabaka sapalatenas. For he had possessions. Hey, halagabarakatai. Ikrondoskapa. Landed properties. Possessions. Possessions. Of flocks, possessions of herd, great store of salt. This was during famine, by the way. During famine, oh, he was commanding abundance. Until the Philistine envied him. I prophesy, by the power of this covenant, step into enviable dimension of wealth, enviable dimension of prosperity, enviable dimension of greatness, enviable dimension of success, enviable dimension of victory, enviable dimension of abundance. You become the envy of your generation. The Philistine envied him. The people of the world must envy you. Some of you, this is how you are going to win souls. It's a blessing. This covenant blessing. That they will see the manifestation in your life. They will say, ah, is it not this show we know? Is it not this Abu we know? Is it not Antonia that we know? Ah! Where Antonia started they drive Prado? Eh? When Sheu start the dedicated estate? Is it when he start to build an own estate? Then you will tell them that Jesus do have blood money. Then they say, how can we join this cult? Somebody say passive evangelism. Evangelism by wealth. Kingdom. Hi, I look forward to that day that very soon we will go for evangelism. Now convoy. Convoy. Like 100 convoy. Prado. What is even Prado? What's all those latest cars? Help me. Eh? Eh? Rolls Royce. Phantom Rolls Royce, eh? Bugatti, S-Class, dextra, as in they will think it's a political campaign. He said, no, this will not be political campaign. Now Jesus matter be this one. You will not have to beg anybody. You won't shout too much. When you make altar call, if you want to join this cult, you can come out. And here is the ritual to join. Say this. Believe it with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, initiation ceremony. Hallelujah. Aya. You will never be small. Never, 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 never. Sapaka toko brakatai. If you read down, you will see how they had to beg him to leave. And then they say, please come and sign treaty. Enter into covenant with us that you will not fight us, you will not attack us. Become, he became greater than the nation of the Philistine. Somebody say blessing covenant. It guarantees victory. Revelation 12 verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the everlasting covenant. By the words of their testimony, they love not their life unto death. It guarantees success, greatness, supernatural strength. It guarantees divine wisdom. It was on the basis of the covenant that God gave Jacob wisdom for supernatural breeding of the cattle, divine ideas, concept, and insight. It guarantees the right to use the name of Jesus in prayer. To use the name of Jesus as an instrument and as a channel, so we can function with his authority on the basis of this new covenant. Can you shout amen? I round up with this. What are our covenant responsibilities? You must know and understand and play your own part to activate all these blessings and benefits. What are these covenant responsibilities expected of us as believers in Christ? Number one, soul winning. Luke 2:49. When his parents were looking for Jesus, Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? Tell your neighbor, be about your father's business. The business of soul winning. Soul winning. Be passionate and committed to kingdom advancement and establishment through soul winning. Use every platform to win souls. Use every avenue. Listen, that your job, that your workplace, that your business, that your career, see it as a platform, see it as a channel, see it as an avenue to advance the kingdom, to establish the kingdom through soul winning. Use it as your own pulpit to preach about Jesus. John 15:16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, I have ordained you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah! Go and bring forth fruit. Which fruit? Fruit of souls. Souls for whom Jesus died, that your fruit should remain. Glory to God. Win abiding souls. Follow them up. You must let the business of the kingdom become your number one priority, your number one passion, and your number one pursuit in life. Let this cause of the kingdom, let this zeal for kingdom business consume you in the name of Jesus. You were saved to save others. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Then in John 20:21, Jesus said, as the Father have sent me, even so send I you. So he has commissioned us, he has ordained us to go and bring in the harvest of souls into the kingdom, to reap the harvest. Are you aware angels have not been given this responsibility, this privilege of winning souls? Angels can only direct them to you. It's only us. The angel that appeared to Cornelius, why didn't he evangelize to him? He couldn't. It's not given to them. God needed, and the angel needed, to direct Cornelius to Peter, Apostle Peter, to lead him to Christ. It's an awesome responsibility. What a privilege. What a privilege. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Let's save the world from damnation. Let's like Reinhard Bonnke will say, let's depopulate hell to populate heaven. Become passionate. Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. Many are seeking their own interest first. God says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom in all that you do, and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. And a major way you seek the kingdom is by engaging in soul winning evangelism. Some of you, if I'm to ask you now, don't answer, or answer in your heart, how many souls have you won to Christ this year? This is already April, 4 months don't go with that. How many souls have you won genuinely to Christ? Think of it. Jesus saved you so that you will save others. You will bring. Don't be an unfruitful Christian. Don't be a liability to the kingdom. Take up this responsibility. Hallelujah. Let your heart burn with passion for souls. I'm so excited. Did you hear the testimony of somebody that God saved through Avalanche of Good News broadcast? That's the greatest testimony. It gives me so much joy. That's the one that I even called. What of the ones that God saved that we didn't hear from them? I hope you know that all these testimony you are hearing, they are not the only people impacted. You remember the principle of the 10 Samaritan lepers? Only one testified. Only one gave feedback and testimony. There were 9 others that were ungrateful, though they were healed. So it's the same thing. For every one testimony you see, there are like 9 other people with similar kind of testimony that have not yet testified, that you did not know. So that means there were more people that got saved. Am I communicating? Soul winning. I'm so passionate. When I preach the gospel, when I go on radio, it's not for me to be known or popular. I think, I pray, I say, Lord, use this broadcast to save somebody today. Use this broadcast to transform somebody's life. Use it as a channel to bring salvation, healing, transformation. Am I communicating? Be a soul winner. It pays the highest dividend. There are so many blessings. Give me this in NLT, New Living Translation. So much benefit attached to soul winning. Kalebo sabarakatia. Seek first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Oh, please, let's read it together. No be me write Bible. 1, 2, 3, go. Seek the kingdom of God above what? All else. And live what? Righteously. He will give you what? Egbe. He will give you what? Everything else. Everything you need. Do you have needs? This is the sure way to having your needs met. You know, when I was talking about the blessings and benefits of the covenant, some of you were jumping up and shouting. Now, I'm talking of your responsibility, your part. See the way I see the poor cold water on top of our body. See, you see people, ba? You see human beings? Why are they not shouting now? You better be shouting, no? This is your responsibility. You want to enjoy those blessings. Look at it. Go and win souls. Use your platform. Use your influence. Use your social media. Some of you, if we check your social media handle, we go almost swear, say you're not born again. The kind of things where they post. So Christian, you just wonder. It is a post. You will never see anything that points to Jesus or to point others to Christ. Nothing. Am I communicating? Use everything you've got to win souls. Invest your all into soul winning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Next verse. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, the day you got born again, you were called into this ministry of reconciliation. Stop asking, what is my calling? What's my own calling? Look at it there. Look at it there. Ministry of reconciliation. Winning souls. Start from there. Any other calling must include this one. Any other calling is a platform to do this one. Am I communicating? You say you don't have job. Should I show you how to get job? You are believing God for employment or admission. Should I show you a very fast way to get job and employment? Wake up every morning. Dress the way you dress to go to work. Or if you are looking for admission, dress the way you dress to go for lecture. Then hit the streets. Start winning souls. With the same seriousness with which you will do that work, you are believing God. Enter keke, enter bus, preach inside, win souls. Do that one. Check if the work resumption time is 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. Start your evangelism that time. If closing time is 4 p.m., close your evangelism 4 p.m. Try that thing for 1 week. It is Satan that will look for job for you. I'm not joking. It's the devil. See, Satan won't even wait for angels. He will be the one to look for job, because you are damaging his kingdom. All these souls you are winning. He will look for admission. Satan will come and give you admission letter. I say, I beg, allow me breathe. Everybody has job, it's just that you don't know how to get it yet. T.L. Osborne says, soul winning is a primary business and assignment and calling of every believer, including every church. Am I communicating? Bring gain, bring profit into the kingdom in form of souls that you win. Tell your neighbor, bring profit to the kingdom by winning souls. He said he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Next verse. So we are ministers of reconciliation. To we that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word or the message of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So he gave us a word or a message of reconciliation that we preach in that ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye what? Reconciled to God. Hallelujah. So the first covenant responsibility is what? Soul winning. Engage in soul winning. Number two, tithing and giving. Tithing and giving. Now, we tithe as an act of honor. In honor of Jesus' sacrifice, we tithe. Okay? We honor our high priest, Jesus, with our tithe. We tithe as an expression of our love. We tithe as an expression of our faith. The same reason is why we give. We give as an expression of our love for God. We give in honor of the sacrifice of Jesus. We give as an act of honor. We give as an act of faith. You can write down Hebrews 7, 1 to 7 because of time. Genesis 14, 17 to 20. You will see how Abraham honored Melchizedek the high priest with a tithe, with a tenth of all the spoil. Then in Malachi 3, 10 to 12, you will see the blessings and benefits of tithing. Look up. As a believer, look up. Tithing is part of the covenant responsibility of every child of God. And is part of our priesthood. I told you yesterday. Am I communicating? Never joke with the tithe.
Be a faithful tither. You know, there are people that are funny. Anytime they hear a message of tithe on tithing, they will get serious and tithe for 1-3 months. Then after 1-3 months, they will go back to default setting. And what is the default setting? They are not tithing again. May that not be you. Receive grace for consistency in tithing. It's not that if you don't tithe, God is going to curse you. Mm-mm. If you don't tithe, you will cheat yourself and deny yourself the blessings of tithing. All those blessings in Malachi 3 verse 10 to 12. It says, I will open the windows of heaven, release a blessing upon you. It says, you will not have room enough to contain. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You shall be a delightsome land. There will be no none shall cast a young and all of that. All those blessings, you deny yourself those things when you don't tithe. Am I communicating? There are those that give but don't tithe. Then there are those that tithe and they don't give. Both of them are wrong. What is the right one? You tithe and you give. See, you can give and you will reap the harvest of your giving. But if you are not a faithful tither, you can lose your harvest. There is no security. It is tithe that guarantees security. Am I communicating? Among other things, the tithe guarantees supernatural security, protection and preservation of all your other blessings of giving, including securing your life. Do you know your tithe can save your life from the devourer? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be a committed and faithful tither. Also, be a giver. There are different categories of giving, okay? Be a sacrificial giver. In Genesis 22, what made God to swear, release one blessing on Abraham that we read earlier? It was because God tested him. He said, go and sacrifice Isaac. And he obeyed. And the writer of Hebrews said, in Abraham's heart, he had killed Isaac. So he actually sacrificed Isaac in his heart. When God saw that, God said, because you have obeyed my voice, God released one blessing. Be a sacrificial giver. Bishop Oyedepo said, there was a time he was worshiping God. And then God said, my son, he said, I love you, Jesus. My son, what did you bring for me? He said, okay. My 1 year salary. Lord, I give you my 1 year salary. God said, what? He said, because you have done this, it's too late to be poor. God cut a personal covenant of prosperity with him because of his sacrificial giving. When last did you give God your 1 year salary? Some people say 1 month they will faint, not to talk of 1 year. When last did you empty your bank account and give God? Sacrifice. I taught you yesterday that sacrifice is the language, that is the lingua franca of the spirit realm, right? Obedience. If you ever claim to hear God's voice, should I tell you what God will tell you to do most times? Two things. Number one, win souls. Preach the gospel, win souls. Number two, giving. Most of the time, these are the two things God tells you to do the most. Hallelujah. Be a giver. Abraham was a generous man. He was a generous giver. He demonstrated hospitality to those angels, three angels, and one of them was the Lord himself. And that was how the promise of Isaac's birth came. Am I communicating? Some of you are too greedy. You are too selfish. Your hand like this, stingo. Even when neighbors come to greet you, the moment you hear ko-ko-ko on the door, you will hide the food. You will take it, rush, close and put them for kitchen. Am I communicating? Be generous. Tell your neighbor, be generous. Be generous. Be a liberal soul. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall also himself be watered. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. Paul talked about the grace of God upon the church of Macedonia. And then he prayed that the church at Ephesus should see to it that they excel in this giving grace also. Give me in NLT, New Living Translation. Look at how NLT puts it. Some people know how to do 100 days prayer and fasting, but when it comes to giving, they know they hear God for that one. They know they hear God. Some people can move Rema, move Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, but God has never seen their CC. We never, even for kingdom advancement, partnership, we never even see Kobo, not to talk of Naira. Are you seeing something? He says, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love for us, I want you, let me tell your neighbor, God is saying, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. NIV says, give me NIV. He says, I want you to excel in this giving grace also. Good. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Say with me, I receive the giving grace. But make sure you give, because that is how you increase in that grace. Am I communicating? There is nothing I have that I cannot give. There is nothing God has blessed me with that I cannot give him. Several times I've emptied my account. I don't think of what to eat. I don't think of how I will even survive. It doesn't bother me. There is nothing I have. My wife knows that if God speaks to me to give her as offering, I will give her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is nothing. Because in the first place, God gave them to me. Have you ever given a child biscuit? And then you now ask the child, can you give me one? And the child say no. And the child is running away. Do you know that is how some people are to God? And then you now wonder, was I not the one that bought him the biscuit? So this child is this greedy. May you be delivered from the spirit of greed and selfishness. See that you excel in this giving grace also. Psalm 35 verse 27. Let them rejoice and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, which had what? Pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Watch this. He says, let them favor what? That favor, let them rejoice and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Learn to favor his righteous cause. Ask yourself, what is God's righteous cause? What is his righteous cause? What is his righteous cause? It's the gospel of Christ. Spreading the gospel, preaching the gospel, advancing the kingdom. That is his righteous cause. Propagating the gospel. That is his righteous cause. You've got to favor his righteous cause by committing your resources to what? To what? Propagating the kingdom. Are you a partner? Are you a kingdom dominion partner with this ministry? Are you aware that part of the money and the blessings that God is releasing on you, you are supposed to channel some of them into partnership? Are you aware? To favor his righteous cause. Are you not blessed by all this testimony of people being blessed by Avalanche of Good News broadcast? Question, how much of your money is there? Am I communicating? Be a partner. Partner with the gospel. Tell your neighbor, partner with the gospel. Give towards the spread of the gospel. Invest your time, your energy, and your resources, money and material resources, into the propagation of the gospel. Invest it in partnership to favor God's righteous cause. Learn to serve the Lord with your substance.
Never forget this. God blesses and prospers his people for the purpose of building his kingdom, for the purpose of promoting his kingdom, for the purpose of advancing and establishing his kingdom here on earth. That is why he blesses and entrusts you with resources. In fact, kingdom financial prosperity is an entrustment. Can God trust you? Some of you are saying, hey, God, bless me and see if I will not use $100 million to surprise AGMI. God is saying, even the 10,000 I have blessed you with, I cannot see anywhere that you are using it to partner to advance the kingdom here. And it's a principle of faithfulness. He that is faithful in the little is faithful in much. I heard this very inspiring story. Listen. Don't worry, I'll soon round up. Today is the last day. You know, the meeting happened, started in a way that I didn't plan. I just had to flow with the Holy Ghost before I started teaching. Okay? Because I'm seeing some of you, your mind is already... gather your mind. Don't worry, we'll soon be done. Now, listen. I heard the story of a young lady. She was around 27 years. She made a vow to God that before that, God bless me, I want to build churches for you before I am 30 years. Somebody that is 27, say before she is 30, she wants to build churches for God. And guess what? Truly, before she was 30 years, she had built 100 churches for God. She was into real estate. 100 churches, church buildings for God. And guess what? God so blessed her. Aya. In Lekki alone, she had more than 100 properties. How can you be poor when you have a heart for the kingdom? When you are actively using your resources to push kingdom business. Somebody said the power of partnership. Start from where you are. Listen, if God is blessing you with 10,000 every month and you are not partnering with the gospel, you are not tithing, forget it. Even if your income increases, you will still not do it. Start from where you are. Because it's a habit you cultivate. Am I communicating? It's a habit. Somebody may start with 1,000 naira, Nigerian naira. Another person, $1,000. Another person, $110 million. Start from your own level. Am I communicating? And make sure you are faithful. Receive grace for faithfulness. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 50 verse 5. Gather my saint unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by what? Sacrifice. By your sacrifice, you can cut personal covenant with God. This one is different from old and new covenant too. Through your sacrifice, you can cut personal what? Covenant with God. Am I communicating? And God is a covenant keeping God. Look at it. God wants you to prosper because of his love. God needs you to prosper because of his kingdom, because of the gospel. Because it is written, Zechariah 1:17, Christ is saying that my cities shall through prosperity be spread abroad. Am I communicating? So there is an agenda to the prosperity of the believer, which is the kingdom agenda. For us, it is money with a purpose. We don't want to make money to oppress others. Or to show off, or for self-aggrandizement. It's because of the kingdom advancement that God entrusts resources. Before the children of Israel left Egypt, can you remember what happened? By favor, God transferred the wealth of Egypt to them. Silver, gold, all of that. And then, guess what? There were no supermarkets in the wilderness for them to buy anything. They didn't need to use the money for anything. They needed water. Water came out of the rock. They needed food. Manna came from heaven. Quail came. God was meeting their need supernaturally. Their clothes were renewed supernaturally. Their food did not swell. Their shield grew. Then, in the wilderness, when it was time to build the temple, sorry, the tabernacle of Moses, God said, raise an offering. According to how I have blessed them, let them give. And the Bible said they give. From those silver and gold. Can you now see why God blessed them with those silver and gold in the first place? Because as some of us, the moment the money comes, you don't think God and His kingdom first. You think your own personal needs first. But meanwhile, scripture says, seek first the kingdom. When money comes, do you think of God first, honoring God with your money first, your tithe, your partnership, your giving, your offering, all other forms of giving? Do you think of God and His kingdom first, or you think of yourself and your personal need first? Kingdom prosperity is a function of your priority. Get your priority right. In the name of Jesus. Then next, kingdom responsibility is intercession. I won't take much time here. Yesterday we talked about part of our priestly duty is that of what? Intercession. Right? 1 Timothy 2, 1-6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3-4. You intercede for the salvation of souls. You pray for kingdom advancement and establishment. For the kingdom of God to be established. First in people's heart, then across territories. You engage in priestly intercession for lost souls. You engage in priestly intercession for the move of God, for revival. You engage in priestly intercession for the growth and maturity of the saints. You pray for ministers of the gospel, men of God. You pray for kings, leaders, etc. It is true. Intercessory prayer that we activate and enforce God's will, God's plan, God's purposes and programs in the earth realm. I say it is through intercessory prayer that we activate, enforce God's will, God's plan, God's purposes and programs in the earth realm. Hallelujah. So be an intercessor. Partner with the Holy Ghost. Partner with Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. In this blessed ministry of intercession. Then the last one, engage in kingdom service. Service in the house of God. Engage in what? Service, faithful service in the house of God. Write down Exodus 23, 25 to 27. Exodus 23, 25 to 27. It says, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Hallelujah. Engage in faithful service in the house of God. If you are not in any service unit in AGMI, please join one by all means. It's part of your covenant responsibility. God sets the solitary in families. Serve faithfully. Serve cheerfully. Serve with joy and gladness. There are people that are serving, but they are not serving with excitement. Serve with enthusiasm. Excitement, energy. Serve with joy and gladness. Serve tirelessly. Serve passionately. Serve wholeheartedly. Serve with the right motive. The purity of motive. Psalm 22 verse 30. He said, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted unto God for a generation. May you become that seed. Do you know your service to God is affecting your unborn children and generation? Look at it there. A seed shall serve him. It shall be what? Accounted to God for a generation. Oh, because of your kingdom service, may God use your children. May God locate and use your generation. In the name of Jesus. So, richly invest your time, energy, and resources into faithful kingdom service. Faithfulness is important. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. It says, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. Receive grace for faithfulness in kingdom service in the name of Jesus. Can you rise to your feet? Keborasa brakatina. Embrakatosko brakatenas. Now, in few minutes we'll be done. Just be patient with us. Hallelujah.
Now, can you lift up your voice and appreciate God for all that you have received? All the blessings and benefits of the new covenant, of the Abrahamic covenant. And also subscribe for grace. Ask God for grace to play your own part, grace to carry out your covenant responsibilities, grace for soul winning, grace for tithing and giving, grace for intercession, grace for faithful service in the house of God. Are you praying? Lift up your hands in 1-2 minutes. Say, Father, I receive grace. Grace for faithfulness. Grace to be a faithful soul winner. Grace to be a faithful tither, a giver. Grace for faithfulness in my partnership as a kingdom dominion partner to advance the gospel, to partner to advance the kingdom. Grace for sacrificial giving. Grace for priestly intercession. Grace for faithful service. I refuse to be weary. Grace to serve God with gladness. Grace to serve God cheerfully. Thank you, Father.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Salon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-65-302610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.